scripture in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We continue with our meditation of this theme, Occupy Till I Come. And in our first message this morning, we saw what it means to occupy. And what we looked at is how there must be a patient waiting upon the Lord. As we occupy, the word itself also means that we must engage in the Lord's business to do the Lord's work. And we saw how we must occupy because the Lord has His right timing, His appointed timing. Why He has entrusted us, you know, with this mission, with this life, it is according to the Lord's timing. So we must occupy. And then the second thing we saw is also how the Lord has entrusted us with various gifts. And in this parable that we saw this morning, it is different from the parable of the talents. This morning we saw the parable of the 10 servants. One thing that is interesting is that to each of these servants, they were distributed an equal amount of pounds. That's the term that the Bible used. So this is something that may be given to all of us as God's servant. Okay? All of us have this. And what can this be? It can be various things such as our time. It can be the life, the health. It can also be the precious salvation that God has given to us, His word, the gospel. And if we have this, how do we now use it unto the Lord? And the third thing we saw this morning is the Lord will hold us accountable. And we will one day have to answer to all that the Lord has entrusted us with. So this was what we considered this morning. And as we continue to consider this theme of Occupy Till I Come, this evening we want to focus more on the relationship. Who are those who must occupy? And we want to see how it must be the faithful and the loyal servants of God who must occupy. Who are those who must engage in the Lord's business? It must be you and me. Those of us who profess to be Christians, those of us who profess to be His servants, we are the ones who must engage in the Lord's business. We must occupy. And this is why I've chosen for us this evening, you know, in the text which we read earlier on in Matthew chapter 24. And from verse 42 to verse 51, this is now another parable, another story or an account of the good servant, the faithful servant, and the unfaithful servant. Okay, so there are two different servants that are mentioned here. One, it is the good and faithful servant. The Bible or the Lord Jesus Christ identified Him as the faithful and the wise servant. And the other is the evil servant. Okay, that is how the Lord identified Him in verse 48. But and if the evil servant shall say in his heart. So which kind of servant are you? So this evening, this is what we want to consider. Who are those who must occupy? We as servants of God, we as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ must occupy. You know, one thing that I think that some Christians, they forget in their Christian life, in their Christian walk. Okay? Because sometimes when we think about Christianity, we think about, you know, you need to do this. You need to read your Bible. You need to pray. You need to come to church. You need to do this and you do that. And then sometimes we also say you cannot do this. No, Christians should not drink. Christians should not smoke. Christians should not do deeds of wickedness. So when we think about what Christians should do and should not do, we forget one very important thing. We forget the relationship that's involved as a Christian. Now, why is it that we do certain things? Why is it that we don't do certain things? Yes, it's because the Word of God teaches us. Okay, it's because the Word of God guides us in that. But one very important reason why we choose to live this way, okay, why we want to obey God's Word, why we want to read, why we read God's Word, why we want to pray, why we want to fellowship with one another, is because first and foremost, the Bible describes our Christian life as a relationship between us and God. And there are many, many terms that the Bible uses to describe the relationship between us and God. And we can study many of these because these are actually very wonderful pictures of how God sees us and how God relates to us. But one theme that is very common in many of these terms that is used is what they call a covenant relationship. Hey, God has a covenant relationship between Him and us. And that's how God has chosen to condescend to our level, to reach out to our level in order to have a relationship with us. Okay? But today we are not going to look at these expressions. But one of the relationships that the Bible uses to describe our relationship with God is that of master and servant relationship. And that's one thing that we sometimes forget. It is a master and servant relationship. And so there are three things I want to share with you this evening. First of all, I want us to understand how the Lord Jesus Christ is our master. The servants are to be those who would follow and are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is our master. I know that this is a very simple truth. Hey, but one thing that is we need reminding about, and we need to be reminded of this truth frequently. The Lord Jesus Christ is our master. That's why in this parable that you read, hey, the Bible speaks of the Son of Man. He will now entrust with His servants. Okay, if you look at verse 44, therefore be ye also ready, for an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. So the Son of Man now will, in a way, depart for a moment. And He will entrust unto His servants to rule over His household. And you notice here that there is a master and servant relationship. Now, this is very similar, one aspect of it which is very similar to the earlier parable that we looked at this morning. The Lord has 10 servants, and He allotted to each of these servants a pound in order to take care of it. But I want to emphasize here our relationship with the Master. Now, when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and when we accepted Him as our Savior, when we were born again, one thing that has happened was the Lord Jesus Christ is now our Master. He became our Master. And so this evening, you know, as we think about this theme of occupy till I come, the first very important question to ask yourself is, do you know who your master is? Who have you been serving? Now the question is, before we can answer this question, of course, there will be another question that we have to answer. Is how did we become slaves in the first place? Now in the Bible, there are different words that are used to describe servants. Okay? Actually, I saw your camp booklet. You all know what is the word that is used to describe servants over here? And there's a group that is named after that. You all know? Doulos. Okay? So, now what is the meaning of doulos? Because there are actually a few different words used to describe servants. Okay, there's one word that is used to describe servant with a sense of like an administrator. Okay? So, this word would describe how the person as a servant is someone who is in charge of a particular household, for example. He's like an administrator. And sometimes the Bible, the King James translators translate that word as ministers. So he's someone who is placed in charge of a household. There's one word that is used to describe that. There's another word that's used to describe servants. And that word is from where we get our English word deacons. And the word literally means to wait. So, a deacon is actually literally a waiter. Okay, so, to wait. Because why? Because they are supposed to serve the tables to wait. You know what is a waiter? Like when you all go to restaurants, you have waiter. Right? Why are they called waiter? Because they wait for their time to finish and then they go home. Correct? Is that the reason why they are called a waiter? Because they stand there, then as they are, you know, like during holidays, some of you maybe work part-time. Have you all worked part-time before? Like maybe you all go, where do you work part-time? You nod your head. Tennis coach, ah? Okay, sorry. Then that one is not a waiter. Okay, tennis coach. You wait, how old are you, ah? 15, ah? 15 years old, you're tennis coach already, ah? Okay. That means your tennis coach, that means your tennis was very good, lah. Okay, never mind. Don't embarrass him, huh? What?
Challenger.
Oh, challenger. But okay. So some of you maybe you work part time, like in a restaurant. Okay, like maybe a sushi restaurant or something like that. Then you are called a waiter. So when you wait for what? Actually, you are not waiting to go home. You are waiting so that if any of your customers, they have any requests, you are ready to help them. Okay, so that is a waiter. And so that's actually from where the word deacon comes from. But then this word is very different. This is not the word for deacon. This is also not a word for an administrator of a household. This word is a word that is used to describe a slave. Now, in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, even in the Old Testament, in the time of Paul, they are very familiar with what a slave and who a slave is and what a slave is like. In the Old Testament, there are a few different types of slaves, but one very interesting kind of slavery is where if you are a slave of a household, according to the Jewish law, okay, in Exodus chapter 21, okay, in Exodus chapter 21, he will work in this household for 6 years. And after 6 years, the household, the master, is required to release him. Okay, this is by law, okay, according to God's law. But if the slave loves the master very much, and now he wants to continue serving with the master, then he will make a request, and then the master will ask him to put his ear to the doorpost, and the master will bore his ear through with an awl, and that is to signify that this slave will serve the master forever. Okay, so in the Jewish law, there's this kind of slave that is known as the willing slave. Okay, he's a slave, a servant, but he loves the master very much and he wants to continue to serve the master. That is the picture that we find, especially in the Old Testament. And this is why if you read a lot of the, you know, you read the epistles, okay, sometimes you read the epistles of Paul. And one thing that you will find is that Apostle Paul will describe himself as a slave. I, Paul, a servant, and the word servant there is a slave, meaning he's a willing slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. But how did he become a slave in the first place? It is because the Lord Jesus Christ has rescued us. The Lord Jesus Christ has bought us to himself. Now, and the picture of slavery is also one idea of it is where these slaves are often sold in the market. In the markets, where in the Roman Empire or even in the Old Testament, in the ancient civilization, oftentimes after they fight a battle and they have won a war, what they would have would be the prisoner of war. Okay, the prisoners of war. And these prisoners, what they would do is they would sell them as slaves in the market. And then there will be someone who will come and he will purchase them. And you know, the Bible tells us that before we were born again, we were all slaves, servants of sin, under the bondage of sin. And even though some may not recognize it, some may not realize it, you were under the bondage of sin. You were serving sin. And it is most, you may be unwilling to do it, but if you are an unbeliever, that's what you are. You may not choose to acknowledge it, but that's what you are. And that's how all who we were before we were born again. How we all are before we were born again. We were all servants and slaves of sin. And we know that sin is a very terrible paymaster, because the expression that the Apostle Paul used is the wages of sin is death. If you serve sin, the payment, right, how sin will pay you finally is death. That is who we were. But how did we then become a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ? It is where the Lord Jesus Christ bought us, purchased us with his own precious blood. Now you can imagine, just like as we were sold as slaves in a slave market, and then the Lord Jesus Christ redeemed us. And that's the idea of the word to buy, to redeem. He bought us to himself. And now he has rescued us, and we must be willing to serve him. And that's one thing that a lot of Christians forget when they live their Christian life. They forget that they are to be servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is your master? There are some who are still serving sin. There are some who may be serving mammon. Mammon in the Bible is used to describe money. Right? They are servants of money. There are some who are servants of themselves. Servants of themselves meaning that you want to serve your own will. You want to serve your own desire. You want to live your own life. You want to make your own decisions. You don't want anyone to tell you what to do. But can we have any other master apart from Christ? That is a very important thing to answer. See, before we can even think about, you know, being faithful, being loyal, you need to first acknowledge and recognize the Lord Jesus Christ as your master. And I also want to share with you one thing. If you serve your master, the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the best master you can ever have. He's the best master you can ever have. You know, recently I know I was talking to someone, just a group of us, we were talking, okay, because one of this person is now working. Okay, so there are a few of our youths, okay, some of them are here, but there are some of our youths who are transiting, okay, between studying and now starting work. And then when they work, what they will have is different types of bosses. Okay, different types of bosses that they will meet and encounter. And maybe for you in the future, you're also going to meet and encounter different types of bosses. Maybe in a way, if you try to imagine, your teachers are somewhat like your bosses. Okay, so all of you have different teachers. And some of these employees, as they are working in a particular company, they think and compare about the kind of bosses that they have. So there was one who was sharing of how this boss is very irresponsible, okay, at least from the person's perspective. And throw a lot of work to the person, you know, and some of the work may actually be the boss's own work, but the boss does not do it, and then just expect the person to do it, and the person is just so overwhelmed, unable to do it. You know, then when the time comes where he is supposed to report, and the boss has to report to a bigger boss, then this boss would throw the employee under the bus and things like that. And then the others will share, oh, they have very pleasant bosses to work with. You know, where this boss is very kind, very understanding, very patient. When they are new to the work, they will explain to them, help them to learn the ropes and all these things. Okay, maybe you may not fully appreciate this illustration yet because you have not yet started work. But maybe in time, you will learn to appreciate it more and more. But if you have a good boss, you know, even though sometimes the nature of the work itself may be very demanding, or maybe your colleagues may be also difficult, but if you have a very good boss, actually it has a great impact on your working experience. What kind of master do you have? Do you know what kind of master we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, that when you serve Him? He's gracious, He's patient, He's kind, He's understanding, He cares for us, He watches over us, He guides us, He leads us, He protects us. And then now, the Lord says, do you not want to serve Him? Look at what a kind of a kind and a gracious master that we have. And He is the one who has chosen us. And now, will we not willingly follow Him? You know, sometimes I think of how, even on a human level, there are some people who have this kind of influence because of their character. You know, such that they can inspire others, that others will be willing to follow them to the ends of the world. Now, I was like reading one article, and this is about football. Okay, so those of you who are sick of my football illustrations, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm not really sorry, but okay, so this is about football because you know that I support Liverpool. Okay, and you know who is the manager of Liverpool? He is called Jurgen Klopp. And I was reading of how some of the players were describing this manager. And they say that they are willing to run through a wall for him. You know why it's run through a wall for him? Huh? Why, Isaac? Why? Isn't he a good manager? No, so there are some players who say, well, I'm willing to run through a wall for this manager. So actually, I'm thinking, you know, how good is this person? Of course, from the perspective of the world, Jurgen Klopp is a very inspirational manager. Okay, according to the players, he inspires them, he brings out the best in them and things like that. Okay, that's from the perspective of the world. Whether it's true or not, of course, it's debatable. Okay, I know some will like strongly disagree. Okay, but regardless, okay, there are people who say, wow, I really want to play for this manager. And they're so inspired by him. But actually, I'm just thinking about it. This is just a human being. This is just a man. Okay, and maybe he has a very good character, very good personality, but he's just a man. But now you think about it, you have the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. He's the one who sustains the whole earth. And now he buys you to himself. He says you belong to him and he asks you to serve him. He asks you to follow him. And he's a good master. That if you follow him, he will take care of you. He will guide you. Now, why is it that we are more inspired by human masters? Okay, why is it that sometimes we are more encouraged by human masters than even the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know who is the master that you have? The Lord Jesus Christ who asks you to follow him. And when you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not be ashamed. When you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not be disappointed because there are human masters who can fail in their promises. Right? There are people who may be very well-intentioned. They have good intentions. Okay? Well-meaning people. They want to help you. They want to care for you. But even human beings may have their limitation. Okay? They may only care for you to a certain extent. Sometimes they may not fully be able to understand how you feel, empathize with you. As much as they would like to, as much as they want to, they cannot. But the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, the Bible tells us how he is almighty, he's powerful, he's like the judge who sits on the throne. Yet, he's also our great high priest who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And you know, the word there, touched with the feelings of our infirmities, describes how he sympathizes with us. That means he feels what we feel. He loves us and he has chosen us. Do you not feel and do you not see it's a privilege to serve the Lord Jesus Christ as your master? Do you not love him? You know, if we use the picture and the example of the slave in the Old Testament, in fact, actually, this is how the book of Exodus describes it in Exodus chapter 21, verse 5. Exodus chapter 21, verse 5. If the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. I love my master, my wife, and my children. I will not go out free. That means now the master says, you are free. After 6 years, you are free. You don't have to work for me anymore. You are free. You are free to go. And then this servant says, I love my master. I will not want to go out free. That means he loves his master even more than the liberty, than the freedom that he has. Will you not say this also of the Lord Jesus Christ? I love my master. I love his household. I love the people that he has put in my life. I love his service. I know he has chosen me. He is mine and I am his forever. I love my master. I will not go out free. Well, I mean, for the Christians, to serve the Lord Jesus Christ as your master is the best master you can ever have. You know, if you were to go out free, there isn't any freedom at all. Okay, life apart from the Lord Jesus Christ is not freedom at all. Life serving any other master is not freedom at all. This is why you must be able to say, I love my master. I will not go out free. Even if he were to dismiss me from service and say, go, you are free to go, I will still come back to him. Are you a willing slave? You know, youths and young people, teens, and this is really something I hope you will understand about your Christian walk and your Christian relationship with Christ. There's really no better joy to know than to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your master even in your youth. Sometimes we hear of some testimonies. Yeah. That's why this morning I said, there's a saying, youth is wasted on the young. Because there are not a few testimonies, okay, where you hear of people who are older, right? There are some who are older, you know, like they are in their 60s, in their 70s. And then they look back and they say, how I wished I served the Lord more when I was younger. Now, how I wish I have used my time for the Lord, in the things of the Lord, you know, more when I was younger. But now they cannot do it anymore. You know, the other day there was one friend from FEBC, okay, who also shared a similar thought with me, because he entered FEBC relatively later, okay, not as late like in his 50s or his 60s, but in his like maybe late 20s, and then later on he was saved at also a relatively older age, because some of you maybe are already Christians, born again, okay, when you're in primary school. But he was only saved later, okay, when he has finished, after he's finished university. So then he said, you know, when he studied in FEBC, he was actually very diligent. He worked very hard. And when I was talking to him, I said, you know what, it's very good that you are working very hard, but ask him, you know, what is that that really motivates you to work so hard? I mean, of course, there are many reasons. One of it is he looked back and he says that, well, unlike some who entered FEBC at a younger age, some of them entering in their early 20s, okay, some of them even in their late teens, okay, and then so he said, unlike some of them, he feels that he has already wasted so much of his life. He wasted it in the world. And so now, he just is so eager to really serve the Lord. And so he studies very hard, he's very diligent, and he's a very good and faithful student. See, sometimes I wish that youths, know, we can also appreciate this. There's really no greater joy than to know the Lord Jesus Christ at a young age. And there's nothing more privileged that you can do than to be accepted into the Lord's service at such a young age. And there's a second thing that we can consider. Okay, so this brings us to the second thought. What is required of servants? To serve. And what is required of us now as servants? To serve. So first of all, we see that there's this privilege, a master-servant relationship. Secondly, what is required of us? To serve. I mean, now if you know that you have this privilege that you enjoy as the Lord's servant, you will want to serve Him. And you will want to serve Him so eagerly. You want to serve Him so faithfully because you see it as a privilege. You don't see it as something that you deserve. You don't see it as something that you have done to earn it. But it's a privilege that has been given to you that you are now enjoying. You know, when I think of, like, for example, some school CCAs, there are some schools that are very, very good at certain sports, okay? Lest that I create some division, you know, and you know, like some people like fight, so I will not name schools. So I just name my school, because my school is not in existence anymore, okay? I used to be from Tsinghai Secondary School, okay? And Tsinghai, they are very famous for their soccer, football, right? But now the school has closed down, so there's no this such school anymore, so you may not even have heard of it. But they used to be very famous for their football, okay, not just in the, so my school was in the west zone, but they're not just famous for soccer in the west zone, okay, even in the whole, in nationwide, okay, they can win like the whole top in Singapore and things like that. So they have like all these trials, okay, you know, like in various CCAs you also have to go to for these trials, and then they will choose the best so that you can go in. And the trials are very difficult because I remember when we were there, then they had a few national players, you know, youth national players who were even part of the school team already. So people are like, I know how to join this school team when there are even like national players already in the team and things like that. Okay, like, you know, some of you may know Bahaiki Kaizan. Okay, he was from Tsinghai Secondary School. I'm not sure they're still your era or you follow Singapore football. Okay, maybe you don't, so you don't know who I'm talking about. But okay, he was there. And then I remember when we see, wow, we know this Bahaiki Kaizan. Then he was like a celebrity, you know. has more sympathy. Then we see him, watch him, how he juggle, how he kicks his crosses. Then we were like, wow, you know, things like that. So we all know that only those very, very good ones can be, good ones can be selected and join the team. And then once they are accepted into a team, if they can get into the first team, the players, how do you think they'll behave? Even like Baheki, the best in the school, the national player, they train very hard. Hey, you see them running, right, doing all the drills, right, doing their passing, their crossing. Why? Because the school has such a reputation, hey, in terms of their soccer. It's prestigious. That now if you can get into this team, you see it as an honor. And they want to train very hard. Because if they are not good enough, there will be someone else who is going to take over them. Okay, someone else who can replace them. So they train very hard. They want to do their best because they see it as an honor to be part of this team. Okay, so they don't have this kind of attitude, right? I'm bigger than this school. Okay, just like in some football, right? They think I'm bigger than this football club because they make so much money. But for this school, it's an honor to join this team. And they do their best because they see it as a privilege. Now, if you have been chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ to serve Him, do you see it as a privilege? Do you see it as an honor? Don't you think that is very insulting to the Lord Jesus Christ? If He has chosen you into His service, and yet you don't give Him your best. Right? You are lazy. You are disinterested. You are arrogant. You are complacent. But for one reason or another, you do not want to give Him your best. You do not want to serve Him. You think that you are greater than even your master. You think that you are even better than your master. And that was one of the problems of this servant, this evil servant. Right? When the master went away for a while, in verse 48, if you look at Matthew chapter 24, verse 48, if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth His coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkard, then the Lord of that servant shall come. But what has happened here is that he is so arrogant. He thinks that he's greater than even the master that he serves. And so when the master is not around, he becomes lazy, he becomes slothful, he parties, literally, right? He drinks. And then he even beat the other servants. He no longer sees this as a privilege and an honor that is given to him. You know the word that the Bible used here? The Lord hath made him ruler over his household. When you look at verse 45, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom the Lord hath made ruler over his household? The idea here is where the Lord has appointed you. The Lord has put you in charge. Isn't this a great privilege? This is a great privilege for you to serve Him. So what is required of us as servants? Serve Him. See that this is your privilege. You want to do your best for Him. Now, if let's say you are wondering how to serve Him, okay, how can I do my best for Him? And you do not know how. It's okay. You can learn, right? This can be taught. But we are talking now more in terms of the attitude of the heart, the willingness of the heart, where you are eager to be used of the Lord. Wherever the Lord calls you or however the Lord wants to use you, you will serve Him. But do you recognize that you are the Lord's servant and that you have been appointed by Him and this is a great privilege that you enjoy? Now, another important thing that we can also learn about serving the Lord is we must be willing to defend Him. Okay? It's not in this passage this evening, but the reason why I say that we must defend Him is because I'm reminded of this morning's passage, okay, in Luke chapter 19. So you've just turned back to Luke chapter 19 for a while. Okay, in Luke chapter 19, and if you look at verse 14, Luke chapter 19 and in verse 14, the Bible says, but his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Now, although the parable, okay, does not describe the other aspects, because that's not the focus of this parable. But I wonder, If you are a faithful servant, when others insult your master and others insult your Lord, what would you do? You also must be willing and ready to defend him. And there are many other passages in the Bible that reminds us of that. Faithful servant of God must serve him, and faithful servants of God must defend him. And that's what loyalty means. So what does it mean to be loyal? Where you would defend your master. You know, there are people who will be loyal for lesser things. Sometimes it's very strange. Right? There are people who are, they would like support lesser things, less important things. That's what I mean by lesser things. Right? They'll defend lesser things. For example, taking illustration of football again. Okay? They defend, right? They defend, right, Isaac? They defend like a club. Okay? If I say, oh, this club is lousy. Hey, this club is doomed. They say, no, they will defend, you know. They say, no, no, no. Okay, there are some very honest club supporters. Like, they will say, okay, yeah, it's true, you know. I'm also very disappointed, it's hopeless, and things like that, it's true. But then they will still try to find a way, you know, to defend. No, but this year is our year, okay. This is going to be changed. There's something going to happen, and things like that. So they'll defend. I know that because I support Liverpool, but I don't support it as passionately as I used to. So sometimes, last night I also wonder, you know, why did I defend Liverpool? Because Liverpool never defend me, right? I defend Liverpool all day, but they never defend me. Then I also defend, like, the player. Oh, this is the best player. This is the best defender. This is the best goalkeeper. But they don't even know me. So we sometimes defend players, things, that they don't even care for us. And like maybe, you know, the brother, you play tennis. So who is the best tennis player? Huh? Nadal, not Roger Federer. Really? Roger Federer is how old already? 30 something, right? Like close to 40. And he's still winning, you know, games and all this. So based on his longevity, don't you think that he's the best player? Look at the number of trophies that has won. So who is the best player? Still Nadal, okay? See, so we defend. I know, I mean, these things like that. We like to defend some things. But, you know, sometimes... it. By the way, I'm not saying that it's wrong, okay? If you, like, support a particular club, you support basketball. Sorry, a lot of these illustrations, you know, like, for guys, right? For girls, I'm not sure. Like, is it badminton? Is it badminton or something? Like, what are you loyal to? I hope it's not like K-pop stars and celebrities, you know, things like that. Like during my time, I know that during my time, even some of the youths, okay, in the YF, they like things like F4, you know, F4. Liu Xing Hua Yuan. Well, maybe it's like different generation already. Okay, the Taiwanese singers and things like that, okay. So, but I mean, the point is that sometimes we are loyal to these things and to these people and we defend them. But actually, who are they to us? What have they done for us? Okay, they just entertain us. They make us laugh. We are just impressed with some of their skills. But what have they actually done to us? Yet, why are they so loyal to them? I mean, sometimes it really puzzles me that some of these fans would even go to the extent of killing one another, right? They get into fights. Okay, to harm each other, to hurt each other because of the football club. That would be absurd, ridiculous. Why are they loyal for that? And I believe that all these are misplaced loyalty. But how about to your Lord, to your master? You know, when others, they attack him, when they attack his name, when they attack his truth, do you have this kind of passion for the things of the Lord Jesus Christ? What is required of servants? Serve him. Be faithful to him. Be loyal to him. And then the word that the Lord Jesus Christ also used here in when you come back to Matthew chapter 24, verse 45, is he says, who then is a faithful and wise servant? The word faithful here has the idea of loyalty, as at the same time it means to be trustworthy. And the Lord can place his trust in you. It means that you are trustworthy, you are reliable. The Lord can entrust you with the charge of his household. This is what is required of servants. But you know, serving the Lord is a great honor. And that's the last thing that we want to look at very quickly. When you serve the Lord, you will be honored. Now, the honor here is not the honor of the world. Because when you serve the Lord, you will not be honored by the world. You can be sure of that. And when Apostle Paul served the Lord faithfully, he was not honored by the world because he was persecuted, and we believe that he was also martyred. Most likely he was beheaded. But yet Apostle Paul says that this was his honor. Right? If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he says in verse 9 and verse 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, he says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong." He says, I would rather glory in my infirmities. He even finds the suffering that he endures and he went through for Christ as his glory. These are like his trophies, in other words. No, do you know when you serve the Lord, it is a great honor. It will not be the honor of the world. Okay, the world may not acknowledge you. The world may not recognize you. They will not give a medal to you. But what you would enjoy is you would hear the words of the Lord. Well done, my good and faithful servant. This was what the Lord said to the servant that we saw this morning. This is also what the Lord says in verse 46. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Blessed is that servant. This is the word of commendation from the Lord. Now, Christians, we need to learn to live this life, some would put it this way, to live this life for an audience of one. You know what is the meaning for an audience of one? It's like a picture of, maybe you imagine a concert pianist. After he has performed his piece in the concert, then he hears everyone clapping. But all of their applause, it does not matter to them. All their applause, it does not concern him. He is just waiting for one. Maybe the person who is most important to him. Maybe, like his piano teacher. And so he's saying, oh, if everyone applauds me, but my piano teacher thinks that I did not do well enough, it doesn't matter. Okay, because all these people, what do they know about piano playing, right? This is what it means to serve for an audience of one. Even if the whole world were to sing your praise, but if the Lord says, you have been unfaithful, you have been lazy, do you think that that is honorable? But if now the whole world were to jeer at you, they would laugh at you, mock at you, but the Lord says, my blessed servant, my faithful servant, that is the most important thing. And the Lord welcomes you with his welcome voice, and with his voice of love. That is the most important thing. So what are you seeking for? I know at your age, one thing that we often seek for is approval. Okay, approval from your parents, approval from your teachers. And some of these things are not wrong in the sense that, there are people whom the Lord has placed in your life, especially, for example, your teachers, okay, or your parents. They are the authority that God has placed to take care of you. You have to do things to honor them as unto the Lord. But even as you do it as to honor them, it's still as unto the Lord. But what must be most important to you at the end of everything you do, ultimately, is that the Lord is pleased with all that you have done. And then the Lord is the one who honors you. Such that even if the world were to shame you, insult you, mock at you, now the Lord honors you. He welcomes you. Isn't that most satisfying and that most fulfilling? All the medals that the world will offer to you, give unto you, it will not last. Right? It's very temporal. It's very empty. You think about it, it's actually very empty. So what if Liverpool won the European Cup 6 times? Actually, what does it matter? in truth, what does it really matter? Okay, you're the champions of Europe in what? Football? It's just 22 people chasing after a ball. Okay? Is that really something so great? Really? I mean, you think about it in reality. So what? The world honors them, but for what? It's so empty. But when the Lord honors you, no, when the Lord receives you, and then now the Lord will issue to you, those who have served Him faithfully, crowns. This is something that is going to last forever. And where you would be able to enjoy the sweet fellowship and communion with the Lord forever. This is something that's most wonderful that the world cannot offer. Who are you serving? So this evening, for our second message, as we consider the theme, Occupy Till I Come, I want us to think, who are those who must occupy? Must be the faithful and loyal servants of the Lord. Are you faithful and loyal servants? Do you know who your master is? The Lord Jesus Christ is your master. He's the best master you can ever serve. Do you know what is required of servants? To serve Him. To be faithful. To be loyal. To defend Him. And faithful servants will be honored of the Lord. The Lord will receive you. Let us pray. Our loving Father in heaven, oh indeed, it's a wonderful privilege to be called Thy servants. Out of thousands and millions of this world, Thou hast not chosen the strongest or the smartest, but Thou hast chosen us, even very ordinary, weak vessels for Thy own use, so that even through weak vessels like us, Thy glory may be manifested. Yet, O Lord, it is always an honor and privilege that we can be chosen unto Thy service. May Thou help us to recognize that Thou art our Master, and help us to be willing to submit and surrender our whole lives unto Thee, that we will serve Thee wholeheartedly. We will not hold any part of our lives back, but we will give it all to Thee. O Lord, we thank Thee for this teens camp, and we thank Thee for the teens who have gathered. May Thou continue to be very close to them. Grant them Thy protection and Thy safety. Grant them a blessed time of fellowship and of learning Thy word. And may Thou be with them also during this time as they have a sing-along. They sing these hymns. Help them to reflect upon their own Christian life. And may Thy name be highly exalted and magnified. We want to thank Thee, and I'll keep Thy word in our hearts. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.